Professors Amy Vornberg and Jessica Durkas-Stokes joins me to talk about the book they are working on with the working title of Sexual Violence in the Law. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So Amy and Jessica, Me Too has driven sexual assault to the front page news, created viral awareness on social media. What are you looking to do with your work?
Well, we decided that there was a need for a textbook on sexual violence in the law, really after we taught a course at UNH in the honors program called Sexual Violence in the Law. It was actually called Asking for It, Sexual Violence in the Law, the History and Law of Sexual Violence. And we realized after we put together the materials for the course that we looked in all, you know, sort of the world of textbooks and things, that there wasn't a good text and that this was an area that was lacking. So we decided, hey, we're doing this anyway. Let's put together a textbook. And it's really no different than, you know, other areas of law that have grown in kind of interest in policy areas, in social issues like privacy law or domestic violence law. These are areas of, you know, huge social concern, but they're guided by and kind of the issues are formed by law and issues of law, statutes and sentencing policy. And so the main idea behind the book is to provide a foundation in law and some policy about both the history and the current law of sexual assault.
Or is there much out there on the market right now for books that cover this, the legal aspect of this? It seems like it's a lot more human interest sort of content.
Yeah, there's nothing. And we know that because we did, there were a few publishing companies that were pretty stoked to do this. And we ended up with Walters Kluwer, but we didn't have to go knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that we decided to write the book was because when we were creating the curriculum for the class, we were looking for a textbook that we could use, and we couldn't find one that had the information that we needed. So we ended up putting together a lot of our, you know, information, taking things from here and things from there, and we're putting it all together to create the course. And we thought, hey, you know, other people could use this information to teach the similar courses, you know, across the country. So
have developments of laws around this, are they very slow in development over time? It seems like there hasn't been these big groundbreaking changes. Like you see them in technology. We talk about sports law a lot. It's like, oh, okay, now we have an entirely new SCOTUS decision on this. It doesn't seem to be that big groundbreaking levels when it comes to this area.
I would say it's gone in kind of, it's very slow, and then we'll have a big leap, and then it's slow. I mean, what doesn't change is the rates of victimization, non-reporting, all of those statistics don't seem to change over all of the years, even with the changes that have been made. But yeah, I would say that and we cover this in the history chapter, you know, the history has been really slow to change. And the biggest leap came probably in the 70s.
Right.
And things changed quite a bit then. And then again, now things are back to sort of, you know, in change mode in terms of state statutes and policies.
What sort of examples are you looking to cover in the book?
So we have a lot of chapters in the works. So we're starting with the history and just kind of general perceptions from early law all the way up to today. We cover race, sexuality, LGBTQ, force and consent. We talk about the media's influence on sexual violence and the way that it sort of colors perception of behaviors. There's going to be a chapter on Title IX, so that's sexual violence on college campuses and other schools.
And sentencing, I think we're going to touch on sentencing. And we're really trying to show, I mean, for example, in the history chapter, we're going to try to show how did the current laws, how were they shaped by some of these very early notions of essentially kind of gender and power. For example, one of the, you know, main themes that still is runs through most sexual assault statutes is this idea that a female was considered to be chaste and that her virginity had property value. And if her virginity was taken by force in some way, that diminished property. And it diminished the property value to a husband or a father, not necessarily to the victim herself. You know, bringing out up to the present day when we have rules about the necessity for corroborating a rape victim, for example, we tie those kind of newer trends to these things that have been in the law, or, you know, really go back to biblical times if you know, you really looked at it, though we're not going back that far.
No, we're not. No. We're also going to touch on defendants' rights and the way that defendants sort of see and experience the justice system as well, because there's a lot of, I think, misconceptions out there about how the justice system works, both for victims and for accused individuals.
So. Especially when it comes to colleges, it's really been in the news with regards to that, for sure.
Absolutely.
And race, I think that's a big one, too.
Yes.
I mean, for example, the Central Park 5 movie, which has gotten a lot of publicity lately. But, I mean, there's a real crossover between issues around race and defendants and due process and kind of presumption of innocence and police work and all of that. There's a history, too. I don't know, Jessica, you sort of touched on that in your chapter on race, but the history of Black men and rape accusations. One of the things that we want to do with the book is really give a full view of the law. So it's not just the law from the victim's perspective. It's going to be the law from the defendant's perspective and also the judge's perspective and, you know, legislators' perspective and the difficulty in creating statutes that are, you know, both fair to defendants and victims. And, you know, we look at sentencing, you know, how judges sentence and why they sentence. It's not necessarily a book that just focuses on one side of these issues.
And there have been some really high-profile recent cases surrounding sentencing, like the Stanford swimmer case.
Brock Turner.
Brock Turner, yes, and how people's reactions to what they perceive to be an unfair sentencing based on the race and gender and, you know, social status of the defendant.
Now, is it your opinion that a lot of states need to completely start over when it comes to how they handle these sort of things, or is it more of a reform?
Our hope is that people will read the book and sort of come to their own conclusions about what they want the law to look like. So we're trying to take as much as possible an unbiased view of the system. And I think just to raise awareness about the issues and for individuals who are interested in this to really take a hard look at it and to say, okay, what is it that we need to change? How do we need to alter this to make it best case scenario in a worst case scenario kind of situation?
So if you were a student who was either a law student or undergrad, or even a graduate student, our hope is the book would give you the toolkit you needed to do, you know, to take action in a lot of different ways. But things are changing. Right now, the Model Penal Code, which is the Uniform Criminal Code, which was started, you know, they developed that in the 50s. They've just done a big revamp of that when it comes to sexual assault. And that's the Model Penal Code is just that. It's a model that is written by professors and judges and academics and lawyers. And probably a lot of states will adopt the new suggestions that are coming out of that. So this is a time of a lot of reform.
And actually, alternatively to that, we're seeing a lot of reform in the Title IX laws, and we're seeing a lot of sort of pushback from activists about that revamping of those laws and the changes that are being made.
It's a crackly time in terms of there's a lot going on. And, you know, this book is just, it's hopefully just tools in the toolkit for people who want to practice in this area, either in law or, you know, policy work, politics.
But also just what we've seen is that there's a great interest in this area. So we were writing this book based on the course that we teach. And what we see is that we have students that are from every possible different major, people who are interested in the law, people who are just interested in this topic in general. So
I'd imagine, especially with the state of like the culture war, and
absolutely,
there's so much, so many people have a real interest in politics and what's going on with the Supreme Court nowadays. I'd imagine it's just the right time to do something like this.
Yes, absolutely. And students want this information.
Yeah.
They're really eager to, and they're eager to talk about this as a topic because it is a topic that influences, you know, it affects so many people's lives.
So what timeline are you guys looking for with this book?
We are planning on having it in production by, let's say, the winter of 2020 into 2021.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify.
Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.